Welcome to Life Quest Liberty, live in-depth conversations with today's top writers, editors, and spiritual leaders concerning religious freedom around the world. On today's broadcast, we'll examine local and international factors that may be impacting your right to worship and obey God as your conscience dictates. I'm your Life Quest Liberty host, Charles Mills. We know what the Kardashians are doing. We know what the candidates are promising. We know what the temperature is in Juneau, Alaska. But according to Lincoln Steed, editor of Liberty Magazine, what we don't know can kill us. He says that right now, this moment, part of our world is headed directly into World War III. Lincoln, enlighten us.
Well, I'll connect with what I think I said on an earlier program. After a wonderful tour in Israel with my family, Thanksgiving time, we stopped off for 4 nights, parts of 5 days in Istanbul, Turkey. Uh-huh. And it was incredible to catch up on the history of Christianity and, of course, the rise of the Ottoman Turks. But while we were there, the civil war in Syria took a strange sort of a turn. Mm. Russia, which had begun bombing the rebels on behalf of their ally, the Syrian strongman, Assad, had one of their jets shot down by Turkey right on the border, and disputed which side of the border, but pretty much just above the border. Uh-huh. And I'll never forget what it was like in Turkey. I thought they would be frightened. So directly tackling one of the world superpowers, yeah, albeit in a restricted state from the original Soviet Union, still it's Russia. And I was surprised the Turks were quite defiant and ready to make a battle of it. And in the weeks that have gone by, it's continued in that vein. Mm. I did know when we were in Turkey that just before we went there, it seems like Putin had called in the Turkish ambassador and ripped into him for a while about their support of ISIS, which has come out, if you do read foreign media particularly, Turkey is, in any number of ways, some of it quite open, supporting ISIS because it furthers the agenda of the Western powers to bring down the Syrian regime. Plus, ISIS is attacking the Kurds, which Turkey has got a long-running pseudo-civil war,
right,
against these people that live in Turkey and in Syria and Iraq. Putin called the ambassador in, and supposedly, by a number of sources that I've read, he told him off, and at the end he said, "Tell your dictator president," he said, "to stop supporting ISIS, or we will bomb your country and make it all like Stalingrad."
Oh, my. Oh, my.
I don't remember that sort of language since the days of Khrushchev.
Really? Really?
Khrushchev, "We will bury you."
We'll bury you, yes.
And most of the listeners may not remember, but those of my age or older will remember the visuals of Khrushchev at the UN taking off his shoe and banging it on the lectern.
Yes, yes.
In a fit of, at the very least, orchestrated rage. Mm-hmm. So things haven't gotten better in Turkey, and of course the Russian ships from the Black Sea have to come down past near Istanbul and through the Dardanelles to get into the Mediterranean.
Yeah.
And the Turkey's threatened to sink the Russian ships, and Russia's threatened to attack Turkey as they come down, and there have been some false alarms, and their guns are trained on each other day in, day out. A couple of days ago, a Turkish general, I thought very intemperately on Turkish televisions, said, "We're not afraid of Russia. We can occupy you." And I think he said 10 days. And then Putin, in his address to the nation, which I saw on television live, he told them to prepare for nuclear war. Mm. And he's told the allies, or the NATO allies, that Russia will counter what they're doing. And if things go against them, they are prepared to use nuclear weapons.
Oh, my.
And then the clincher, the very small type in U.S. newspapers, but you can find it online, in the Black Sea, a U.S. naval ship by itself, I think, was approached by 2 Russian planes. And as they approached low level, the ship went into automatic defense mode. There's an electronic defense called Aegis, mm-hmm, that fire rockets and missiles all automatically to defend not just one ship, but a whole battle fleet. And they were about to do that. It was gearing up. And suddenly, as the planes came close, it went dead.
Mm-hmm.
And the planes did about 6 battle runs, low-level runs at the ship while it was dead. And so they've discovered the Russians have a jamming device on the planes now that neutralizes the defense mechanism. So there's a huge panic. And you've got to ask, why would the Russians reveal their weapon unless they're planning on using it soon, because normally countries don't reveal their secret or their secret advantage. They want to use it, not give it away. So there's serious games. And, of course, Russia's threatening to shoot down Turkish planes in Syria. I've even heard mumbled threats against the U.S. and Australia, my original country. They're also flying flights. So there's a busy atmosphere over Syria with competing factions from the great powers, and their agenda is not the same. And the point I want to interject, religion is front and center here.
Take us back and tell us how we arrived here and how religion played a part in that.
Religion has played a part in this all along. The immediate conflict with Syria may not be directly religious, because there's some evidence that the West has tried to use Syria to run an alternate oil pipeline to neutralize Russia. Because remember, Russia tried to bring Europe to heel a few years ago by cutting off natural gas supplies to Europe. And so the plan by Western powers was to bring oil from Saudi Arabia up through Syria. Syria refused. I think there's very good evidence. That's why they sealed their fate, and the Western alliance is determined to bring Assad down, because he's hardly the worst dictator and far more liberal than his father. And when he first came in, was touted as opening up the society and even the Ba'ath Party, which I wouldn't want to live under. But as with Saddam Hussein in Iraq, the Ba'ath Party has guaranteed religious freedom for all beliefs. It's not pro-Muslim by any stretch. Yes, religion's played a role, but really there's geopolitical considerations. But once the conflict has kicked in, of course, there's Islam and its connections to radical Islam with the alliances and the disparate groups that are fighting against Bashar al-Assad. Then America, and love it or leave it, a lot of the U.S. attitudes, even through the military, are colored by this Christian nation concept and the evangelical view of prophetic fulfillment in the Middle East and needing to defend Israel and so on. It gets very strange. But there's no question that religion is playing a part in the sensibility of our efforts there. Then Russia, of recent years, and I've just signed an article for Liberty magazine. Russia has forged a new, incredibly hand-in-glove relationship with the Eastern Orthodox Church, which historically was really not different from the state. And they're now speaking of this as, in essence, as a holy war to defend Mother Russia and the frontier, of course, is Syria. But if it gets through Syria, it'll be on their doorstep. So there's a religious sensibility there. I do believe even the Roman Catholic Church is showing a great interest in this. And the connection I would make, among others, is John Paul II struck a signed treaty with Arafat, where the Pope and the PLO in that those days, that would be the Palestine Authority now, they are both to be involved in any disposition of Jerusalem. So you've sort of got everybody coming together with a religious agenda. And what I've often said, in a quirky way, this is an imperfect but a recognizable replay of the Crimean War. The Crimean War was the great powers, England, Protestant, France, Catholic, and Russia, Eastern Orthodox, vying for influence in protecting Christians who were being persecuted by the Ottoman Turks in the Middle East. And it was fought in Crimea, the peninsula that Russia most recently annexed. And then it's moved on from there. And, of course, Turkey is the same real estate.
I think it's important for us to realize something that you have said in the past, and that is the religion of a country is more than what they do on Sunday morning. It is so ingrained in who they are.
In many traditional societies, yes. The religion is inseparable from a national consciousness.
Yes, yes. So when you have someone attacking a religion or not agreeing with a religion, they're actually attacking and not agreeing with their national stance in the world. Am I right?
Well, that's what Nebuchadnezzar said. You know, you don't pay any respect to me or my gods.
Yeah.
You're against Babylon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yes, most traditional societies tend to see it that way.
Hmm. Well, if this happens, if this heats up over there, what are the ramifications for our little country here trying to stay out of war as much as it can?
Well, I don't think the U.S. is trying to stay out of war. I think in many ways the U.S. is perhaps doing what the planners think is necessary with dwindling resources and access to other resources challenged by rising powers like China and that. So, yes, there's an active effort to protect U.S. interests, and that really means war in many cases. That doesn't mean we're automatically in the wrong, but I'm not inclined to put moral judgments on relationships between countries. I think all war is immoral from my perspective.
Yes, yes.
But these are the great powers vying for influence and furthering their agendas. And as I say, religion is playing an increasing role, and there's not much you and I can do about it, but we need to recognize the debris from these conflicts is highly charged religiously. And as we started off by saying, the refugees that flooded into Europe recently are not religiously neutral, and many of them may be foot soldiers for a radical form of Islam.
My mind keeps going back to that Bible text that says at the end time there will be wars and rumors of wars, and we live right smack dab in the middle of wars and rumors of wars. Am I right?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. And that's the spirit of the times. It reminds us that religion is definitely going to be contested, and there are moral issues at play, and it should cause each of us to re-examine our own religious moorings and our faith and be persuaded and to be clear in our witness and prosecution of our faith here.
And in the 60 seconds we have left of the program, Lincoln, how is Liberty Magazine helping us do what you just said?
Well, I hope the principles we're getting across are consistently in alignment with that. As far as covering the topic, we're doing it regularly.
Yes.
And for the last several years, there's been, if not every issue, then certainly no less often than every other issue, we have an article on these international events and conflicts that are carrying a religious agenda.
Mm. So you may not hear it, listener, on the 6 o'clock news, but you will hear about it and read about it and see it on the website, libertymagazine.org, or the magazine, Liberty Magazine. Let's invite our listeners to that website, libertymagazine.org. There's a blog there you can read every time. And also the magazine, the articles are there for you to read. You can subscribe to the magazine as well. That's all at libertymagazine.org. This is Charles Mills, along with Lincoln Steed, inviting you to rest in the freedom of God's love. Goodbye, everyone. If you'd like more information about LifeQuest Liberty, call Three Angels Broadcasting Network at 618-627-4651. Or email us through our website at 3abn.org. Join us again next week at this same time as we examine more of the threats and challenges facing your religious freedom. May God keep the flames of liberty burning in your heart today.